so much harm. Many leaders, and we're not just talking about believers, many leaders across the evangelical world, from America all the way through to Ireland, they're getting involved with things which are destroying the church, purely because they don't understand that the Catholic Church is very real and it's a tool in the hand of Satan. Let's go to Revelation 17. My message tonight is the little horn. We dealt with the scarlet woman, the scarlet beast, now the little horn. All of it is in one chapter, Revelation chapter 17. Let's read from verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet coloured beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. In verse 7, And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short time. And the beast that was not and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings one hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and their strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfil his will, and to agree, and to give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Father, we just thank you again for your word. Father, we know these aren't things that are meant to be hidden, nor our eyes are to be blind to. We ask you, O God, for divine wisdom, sovereign wisdom to come from your throne. Father, we need wisdom in these days, even as a church, Father, that we might be separated from every false system, everything that's a pollution and a corruption. We want to see Christ coming in his glory. And even tonight, remind us that you are sovereign even over the nations. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're dealing with the little horn. Now, we've already seen that the Scarlet Woman is the Roman Catholic Church, okay? I know we can hear things and lose it, but please give yourself to the study of these things. It is worthwhile, it's practical, and it's vital, because we are in a warfare. We're in a warfare for the real Church of God, the purity of the Church. But we've seen that the Scarlet Woman, In this chapter, she is the Roman Catholic Church based in the city of Rome. Secondly, we saw that the Scarlet Beast is the Roman Empire, both past and future. It was an exact prophecy. When we looked at those four kingdoms, the reason why we study that, and this is the reason, she is sitting on that beast. And when you see her sitting on that beast, what it reveals is that this woman is a woman sitting at the very heart of it in the city of Rome. And then thirdly, the ten horns are a joint confederacy of 10 final kings and one little horn. Who is this little horn? So we see that the 10 kings are a last world government. It hasn't come yet. It's not Tony Blair. It wasn't George Bush. It's not Obama, and it's none of these people. But I tell you, the Bible does say that there's going to come great 10 kings on the earth. It's going to be the last world government, and it's going to be the feet of the Roman Empire. In other words, the very last stage of the last world government. It's going to be a part of the Roman Empire, but it's the last stage of it. Now, we already seen that the beast, as the Roman Empire, it arose after Greece. That was its beginning. Then we saw after that that the Roman Empire, under the influence of the Scarlet Woman, has reigned for more than 1,500 years as the Catholic Church. Only the Catholic Church was there in the city of Rome. But thirdly, now we see, is that the 10 horns and the little horn are going to arise. Now look at this. Look at this beast that we have already dealt with in this chapter. Here it is. We see a scarlet beast. A woman is sitting upon her who is the Catholic Church. It seems that the Catholic Church is controlling this political system or this world government that's going to come to power in the last days. The scarlet woman, the Catholic Church, seems to be in control. We knew from this chapter that that system is going to destroy her, and that the 10 world leaders and the little horn don't come to power until they have destroyed the Catholic Church. That's what this chapter is all about. The city of Rome is going to be destroyed by the last world government. And it only comes to power after doing that. Now, we see here that she arose after. Now, she is a beast, scarlet beast. How many heads does she have?
Seven
heads. How many horns? 10 horns. What are the horns?
10 kings.
Very good, guys. 10 kings. Those horns are 10 kings. But what are the 7 heads? Let's look at this. Because we're looking at the Roman Empire. The Holy Roman Empire that was. But yet we know as an empire it doesn't exist today, does it? What used to be the Roman Empire is scattered different nations. They're not all in agreement. The eastern part of the Roman Empire is not joined with the western part. Yet. It hasn't happened yet. The Bible predicts everything that's about to come in our world. And we can know that. Now let's look at the 7 heads. What are the 7 heads? It's mentioned in verse 3, verse 7, verse 9, and verse 11. Is there 7 heads on this scarlet beast? This Roman Empire that's going to come in the last days, it has 7 heads. But what are these 7 heads? 7 heads represent 2 things. Now as we've seen, verse 9, what does the 7 heads represent? First of all, it represents this, what? 7 kings are 7 hills. Which? What does verse 9 say? What does verse 9 say?
7 mountains.
7 mountains. So we see the 7 heads, first of all, represent 7 mountains upon which the woman sits. And we see that is Rome. That is the city of Rome. She is literally sitting on 7 literal mountains. What do the heads mean? Because, see, God has given these clues. Why has he given the 10 horns, 7 heads? Why has he given this? So you can identify what we're dealing with here. So the 7 heads, first of all, represent 7 literal mountains, which are the city of Rome. So we're talking about a system, a world government that has its base in Rome, or a political system arise in the world that has its base in Rome. But it also, it means the second thing here. It says that there's 7 kings or 7 kingdoms, and that's very important. So it's 2 things. You can't make a mistake. It's a king or a kingdom as well as 7 hills. It's joined these 2 things, and you can't separate them. The 7 hills of Rome cannot be taken away from these 7 forms of kingdoms or kings, okay? Now, what is a head? You tell me what a head is. When we think of Jesus Christ ruling over the church, he is the head. What does that mean? That Jesus Christ is the head of that church, of this church. It means he has sovereign power. He is in control. He carries the authority. And it says in Isaiah 9 verse 6, a prophecy about Christ, that the government shall be upon his shoulders. So we see Christ being the head of the church means he carries the government of the church. And anything that goes to a preacher is delegated authority. But Christ is the only head of the church. Never call a preacher or a minister or anybody a head of a church. No man is ever the head of the church. Only Jesus Christ is. So we see two things here. That these heads are governments. It's talking about governmental systems that come forth out of the seven hills. Now you'll understand this a bit better as we go on. Now think back to what we've seen there with the Grecian Empire. What was the animal that was represented by Alexandria and his kingdom? It was the leopard with four heads. Now when he arose, he was the first king. His kingdom was represented by that leopard. When he died, it split into four, didn't it? And those four were four heads. Now what happens with Rome? Rome is one beast. But what happens at her end? She's split into ten different kingdoms it's going to be split into. But here we have in the Grecian Empire that it had four heads. That meant four different types of government. Okay? So after Alexandria died, there were four different types of government. Now notice here what it says in verse 11. And it says, verse 10, and there are seven kings. Now notice this, five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. So in John's day, when John is writing, he says, as you look at this beast, it has seven heads. There's seven forms of government. He said in John's day when he's writing, five of these types of government have passed away. Look at it. It says there in that verse 10, it says five are fallen. Five of these kings and their kingdoms, they passed away. So as he's looking at the Roman Empire, he says five have already come and gone in John's day. It's talking about five different types of government. Now here's an interesting thing. Livy, he was a historian in the first century. And Tacitus was another historian. Both of them speak about five types of Roman government which have already gone. Okay, and they list them. Now notice what they are here. These are five types of government that the Roman Empire had that no longer exist in John's day. They've come and they've gone. First of all, kings. When Rome began, who started Rome? Who was the founder of Rome? Romulus. He was the founder of Rome. You'd already said it. Was the founder of the city of Rome. He was the first king ever of the city of Rome. Now what we have, this is the first type of government over the Roman Empire or over the city of Rome. It begins with kings. There were 10 kings at the beginning of the history. You can look up any history book or Wikipedia or whatever else, and you'll find that the beginning of Rome's history, there were 10 kings that came one after the other. That's very interesting, because Rome began with 10 kings. She's going to end with 10 kings. Okay, this is in the history books. She began with 10 kings who followed one after the other. Secondly, came consuls. This was a government over Rome made up of two men. Two men reigned at the same time in that government. Thirdly is the decemviri. Now, it was made up of 10 men ruling together. Again, very interesting. These are all different types of government that have been there in the Roman Empire. This was 10 men ruling at the exact same time over the Roman Empire. They're united. They were in agreement ruling over Rome. Fourthly, were the dictators. Now, what do we think of when we hear the word dictator? A tyrant, a dictator. In other words, he's not asking anyone's opinion. Okay? So, this is where we get our word dictator. It was one man ruling over the whole empire. Fifthly, was the triumvirs, which is three men. So, look at this already. These are all the historians that were alive in John's day and before. These are the Roman historians of the Roman Empire. See, now, this is in their own writings. Five types of government have passed away. before John's day. Now, what's John writing here? What does he say there in verse 10? He says, five of these have fallen. So five of these heads, they've already gone. When you look at the Roman Empire, it's got seven heads. Five of them are already gone. John says that. The Bible says that. So do the Roman historians in the first century. They said these five different types of government, and you'll see where I'm going to in this, and why I'm telling you this. Five types of government, they've gone, they've fallen, they've passed away. But he goes on to say something else here in verse 10. He says, and one is. Now what come after those five? Even those historians said was Imperial Rome. And it existed from before Christ's birth until Constantine's time. So that was the sixth head, okay? The sixth type of government over Rome. Okay, so this is just historic as well as biblical. An Imperial Rome was the sixth head or form of government. Then John says, and the other is not yet to come. Now what place replaced Imperial Rome? What type of government or leadership replaced the Caesars of Imperial Rome when Constantine left Rome? Who replaced it? It was the popes. It was the Bishop of Rome. And do you know what happened? All the titles of the Caesars, you know what I mean. It got passed over to the popes of Rome. All the titles, all the power, all the influence, even the very buildings, all of that prestige moved from the Roman Caesars, and it got passed to this system called the papacy. So there was a new government came into the city of Rome. Do you notice with these? Now notice what I said. I said seven types of government at the seven hills. None of these types of government, you can't say it's anywhere else in the world. They all come out of the seven hills of Rome, the city of Rome. So the papacy followed the Caesars. And it's predicted by John. Who's reigning when John is prophesying? It is the imperial Caesars, isn't it? They continue for another 300 years. But he's saying, after this government comes another government. There is going to rise up another government. So John was prophesying the coming of the papacy, that it was going to come to the city of Rome. It wasn't there in John's day. The papacy did not exist. But over the next three centuries, it rose up. First of all, a man was called, remember in the city of Rome, some of those early letters in the first century, there was a presbytery over the church at Rome. You can read the early letters. There was a group of godly elders over the city at Rome. Then it became one bishop, one man who simply exalted himself above the other presbyters. Then that one bishop starts to take on other titles and more power until there was four great churches and church leaders in the old world. Finally, Rome dominated all of them and said, I am God's representative on earth. Remember what he calls himself? The vicar of Christ. Now, what does that mean? The word vicar is vicarious. It means in place of. Okay? So you stand in the place of Jesus Christ on the earth. That's what the Pope is called. And many other names and titles that come out of ancient Babylon, the Pope started to use. So we see that this sixth form of government, seventh head, is the papacy. Now, let's notice Revelation chapter 13. Now, all of this is going to affect our day and our generation. Revelation 13, verse 2, and it says, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Now, notice this, having seven heads and ten horns. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, feet, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth was the mouth of a lion. Now those three animals represent the three previous kingdoms. But it's here on this last world government that's going to arise. All of the parts of world government that have ever existed are in this last world government. And notice what it says, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and his authority. So this last world government is given its seat. Now where is its seat? In Rome. and has given it its authority. The dragon, who is the dragon? It's Satan himself, is given his power to world government. And it says, and I saw one of his heads. Notice this. How many heads is there? Seven. In John's day, five had gone. Five were gone. One was there in John's day. And there was another yet to come, the papacy. Now notice what John says here. And I saw one of his heads. One of what heads? One of the seven heads. As it were, wounded to death. What's he talking about? He's saying, in this vision, I seen one of the heads, one of these forms of government, and it's killed. It's gone. It's over. John's speaking his day, so it can't be imperial Rome. It's one of those five old forms of government. And he says, I see it killed. And it says, his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now, what's John saying here? Do you know what he's saying? John is saying one of these old five forms of government that was at Rome, it's about to be revived and healed. Okay? So if you look at those five governments that were before John's day, he is saying it's going to get healed and revived and restored again in the last world government. So one of these governments was wounded. It no longer exists at this point in time. It's gone, it's over. But you know what? In our day and generation, it's being restored and revived one last time. Now look at Revelation 17, verse 8. It says, the beast that thou sawest, it was, it is not, and it shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. Now what's it talking about? It's talking about the reviving of the Roman Empire. Do you realize that during the papacy, the political Roman Empire has been dead, hasn't it? Since the day of the Caesars, the Roman Empire, what the Roman Empire used to be, it doesn't exist as a world government anymore. It's gone, it's over, it's dead. But the papacy, that government has been in place all that time. Now what John is saying is, God is going to revive and bring back to life one of those old form of governments. Now what I find interesting is one of those old form of governments was 10 leaders ruling together. Do you notice that the third one, the Decemviri, was 10 men ruling together. When we see the last Roman Empire, or the Roman Empire in its last stage, 10 great world leaders are reigning, isn't that right? And I believe what the Lord is saying here is, in verse 8, the beast that thou sawest, the Roman beast, the Roman Empire, it was, in John's day it was. Then he says, it is not, and it shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. The only thing to come out of the bottomless pit is demonic spirits. You don't get physical men being raised up out of the bottomless pit. All through the book of Revelation, the bottomless pit is a place for demonic spirits. Now what I believe it's saying is the old Roman Empire under the Caesars, there was a power there. And it was a demonic, satanic power from hell. And what happened? When that kingdom finished, that spirit descended down into Hades, into hell, into the pit. Okay? But he says, in the last days, there's going to be a reviving of the world, of the Roman Empire again. The Roman Empire is going to come alive as a world government. Okay? And as that world government arises, do you realize there's going to come a spirit out of the pit that's going to be the power in that last world government? So we're looking at a world government that's coming, that's going to be demonically inspired from the very pit of hell, literally. You know, we say casually that if something's very wicked, it's from the pit of hell, don't we? Don't we? What we mean is, it's terribly wicked. It could only come from hell. Well, do you realize the Bible predicts that the last world government about to arise, it is going to be from the pit of hell. There's going to come out of the pit of hell a spirit. And there's going to be a restoration of an old Roman government that has never been seen in millenniums. And it's going to be these 10 kings are going to be revived and restored again as the last world government. Now the revived kingdom, which is the 8th. Now notice that, see in 10, what does it say? There are 7 kings, 5 are fallen, 1 is, that's imperial Rome, and the other is not yet come. That's the papacy. And when he cometh, he must continue a short time. And the beast, notice verse 11, and the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth. Do you see that? So this thing that comes out of the pit of hell is the eighth king. And he says there in verse 11 that he is of the seven heads. Okay? But he's an eighth one that comes after them. What were they? Forms of government. So he says these seven forms of government, there is going to come an eighth, but that eighth one is of the seven, and it comes out of the pit of hell. It's a world government. Pardon me. Being revived again in the last days. Now this revived kingdom with its eighth head will grow up around the Mediterranean Sea. Now you'll understand this if you read Daniel chapter 7 verse 2. What does Daniel say? He says, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. Mark that. The great sea. What is the great sea? And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. Now, that term great sea is only ever used in the Bible of the Mediterranean Sea. Okay, it's not used of anywhere else. You can do a word search, put in great sea, go down there, Strong's Concordance, you'll find it. It talks about the border of Israel, that great sea beside Lebanon. So it's talking about the Mediterranean. The great sea is always the Mediterranean. These four beasts come out of the Mediterranean. What it's saying is the four world governments, they're connected. That's why the British Empire isn't included. That's why other great world empires aren't included. These are four. Pardon me. These are four that are in around the Mediterranean Sea. That's where the source is. Now, do we see anything like this in our day and generation? Is there a revived Roman Empire in our day and generation? Is there a coming back to life of the Roman Empire? Is there a joining together of this last world government? There is. There is. Do you realize that in 1968, there was a group formed called the Club of Rome? They met together in the city of Rome in Italy in 1968. And as they sat and planned, they said what they were doing was going to be the catalyst to start a global government. In other words, they were starting to talk about world government, world politics, world currency. And they created what's called the Club of Rome and signed the Treaty of Rome. Now, who were these? Listen to who composes this. It is composed of scientists, economists, businessmen, international, high civil servants, heads of state, and former heads of state from all five continents. So with the Treaty of Rome, it begins in the city of Rome. That's what we've seen in within one generation. Pardon me. Sorry, I preached myself hoarse over the weekend and had a bad cold yesterday, so excuse me, please. Then, in September 73, we see the Club of Rome putting out a document. Okay, it's very important what they're doing. They know what they're doing. There is an influence behind them to bring about a world government. We don't see it yet. We don't see the 10 great world leaders. We don't see the little horn. We don't see any of this yet, but it is coming. This is the foundation and preparation of it. Now, the Club of Rome in 1973 put out a document, and it was entitled Regionalized and Adaptive Model of the Global World System. Do you know what they put out in that document? It's a map of the whole world split into 10 kingdoms. They called them kingdoms. That's the word they use. And this is scientists, economists, businessmen, bankers, world politicians. And they put out this. They're starting in the 70s, 1 year after I'm born. They're speaking about a world government, world economy, world peace, all of these things. even then, they're starting to talk about it. They put this map out. Since then, the UN uses this map of the 10 kingdoms. The world's split into 10 kingdoms. Pardon me. You'll be glad I'll cut this short. What we are seeing is the beginning of the last world government, okay? We are living in this. This is happening in our day. This symbol has only come back within my lifetime of the woman riding the beast. It wasn't used 60 years ago. It was not on our coins 60 years ago. Yet today it's on the German coins. It's coming onto our Euro notes as of May this year. All this symbolism is coming back. And it's a warning to us that this system is being revived. And what we're seeing now, it's not there yet, but we are going to see the last world government. It will have 10 kings over it, and it will have 7 heads. In our words, one of those forms of government is going to be revived again. So all of this is being revived and restored. And please note that in this Revelation 17, it says that these 10 great kings, they give their power, and we dealt with this last week, they give their power to one little horn. Now, what are the 10 horns? 10 kings. What's the little horn? Go back a step. Don't go too fast. So if they're 10 kings, what is he? Shout. It's what? Ten kings, a little horn comes up. What is a horn?
One king.
It's a king. So the little horn is a king. The 10 kings are going to give all the power to a little king. He's called the little horn. Now notice he's a little horn. Okay? Don't let anyone tell you they know who the Antichrist is. They don't. It's not Obama. It's not Blair. And, you know, you hear every single year of my life, I've heard people say, it's such and such. It's not. And do you know what? We're going to just look briefly here before we finish at some points. Don't get caught up in all of this. All the theories, the conspiracy theories, don't get caught up in them. The Bible reveals what's happened, okay? You could go to your computer and search from now until eternity, looking at all these things. Don't get distracted. Our eyes are to be on Jesus Christ. The Bible does predict what's happening. But don't go outside the boundaries of the Bible. The Bible is interesting enough, okay? So who is this little horn? He is the Antichrist. You see, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18, John does say that he cometh. Antichrist cometh. Okay, he's talking about an actual person. And he says there that he is coming, chapter 2, and verse 18. And he says, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. So what's John saying to the church? He says, you've already been taught and told, and it's written in the Bible, Daniel. It's already written there that Antichrist is going to come. But notice what else he says. Even now there are many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. So we know the Bible predicts there's going to be many antichrists, but there's one antichrist. And John was very clear on that. That yes, many antichrists come, but there is going to come one man who is called the Antichrist. Now what's the mystery of godliness? Okay? The Bible does talk about a mystery of godliness. Now just hold this. I'm giving you a few thoughts here, okay? The mystery of godliness. Don't turn there, but it says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, 16, Paul writing talks about the mystery of godliness. And he tells you what it is, okay? What is it? It is God manifest in the flesh. So what's the mystery of godliness? God manifest in the flesh. It is God coming down as Christ in human flesh. It is God's Son manifest on the earth. What's the mystery of iniquity then? If the mystery of godliness is God manifest in the flesh, what is the mystery of iniquity? Paul talks about both these. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 7, it talks about the mystery of iniquity. Now what's it? Do you know what it is? It is Satan manifest in the flesh. So just as God manifested himself in one man, in one generation for 33 years, do you know what Satan's going to do? He's going to come and manifest himself in one man. The devil's going to become incarnate in human flesh. He's going to come as a man. This is going to be the son of the devil, the child of the devil. I don't know where any of you ever watched it. I hope you didn't. But the Omen films, the Damien films, and when you looked at the credits at the end of the film, it was all about the Antichrist. And you know the person who financed it was Rockefeller. Or Rothschild, sorry. The Rothschild family, which is a world government family. They financed the production of those films all about the Antichrist coming out of a European family and reigning in world politics. Those were three films that were made. Scare the wits out of you. You wouldn't want to get saved if you ever watched them, or you wouldn't have slept easily in your bed at night. So it talks about, the Bible talks about not only the manifestation of God in human flesh, but the mystery of iniquity is that Satan is going to have his man on the earth. He's going to be the incarnation of wickedness and iniquity. Now let's look at this quickly. Who is the little horn? First of all, he is given his power by 10 kings in a revived Roman Empire. Okay, we see this in Revelation and in Daniel 7. Don't listen to what people tell you about the Antichrist or the little horn unless he's given his power by 10 great world leaders in a revived Roman Empire. So unless you see that, it is not the Antichrist. He could be a Antichrist, but he's not the Antichrist. Secondly, let's look at Daniel chapter 7. It says he will subdue three of these kings. I'm just revealing, identifying the Antichrist. And it says, it had 10 horns, and I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. So see, Daniel's saying the very same thing, isn't he? 10 horns, one little horn comes up, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. Then verse 24, and the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three. So here's Antichrist. How are we going to know he's on the scene? Or how do you know who he is coming? Because we hear so much foolishness coming. Every time someone comes and says, this is the Antichrist, it's not the Antichrist, saints. God help us, I hope you don't see him. Hope you're not here in such an hour to see him. But thirdly, he will arise out of Alexandria's Grecian Empire. Okay, very interesting. He's not from America. He's not from Ireland. He doesn't have Irish blood flowing in his veins. When people say to Bama or anyone else, it cannot be. He will arise out of Alexandria's Grecian Empire. Notice this. Therefore, the he-goat. Remember the battle between the he-goat? It says, wax very great. That's Alexandria, okay? He's the he-goat. He waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken. That's Alexander. And for it came up four notable ones towards the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them, notice that. Now, what are the four heads that come up after Alexander? They're four different types of government, four different regions of the Grecian Empire. And it says, and out of one of them came forth a little horn and waxed exceeding great. So what's he saying here? He is saying the Antichrist, the little horn, is going to come out of one of the four parts of Alexander's empire. He's not coming out of America. He's not coming out of Australia. And he's not coming out of the British Isles. Okay? He's going to come out of that. And I very much believe, I can prove it to you with a bit more time, that he'll be Syrian. He's going to come out of the Middle East. Now, do you notice something about the Roman Empire and all of this? We are not united as yet to the Middle East, are we? That used to be a part of the Roman Empire. Do you know what's going to happen? We're not talking about 10 countries or nations here. We're talking about 10 leaders who don't have a kingdom yet. We're talking about something that's going to be very expansive. So, fourthly, he will arise in the last days, Daniel chapter 8. and in the latter days of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full. So it's talking about an hour of great wickedness in our world. Talking about the last days when sin and iniquity get so great. That's when Antichrist is going to manifest himself. Do you realize that Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist is waiting for iniquity to rise in our world to such a point in the politics of the world that Antichrist can gain control? That hasn't happened yet. Number five, he blasphemes God. Daniel 7 says, and he shall speak great words against the Most High. Revelation 13, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell on the earth. Sixthly, he is worshipped. Revelation 13. And it says, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Number seven, he has international power. Not just over a country or a few countries, but his power reaches into all the world. Notice this, Revelation 13. And power was given unto him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. So he's given power. That doesn't mean everybody accepts his power. That doesn't mean every nation accepts or submits to his power. Daniel shows that other nations rise up against them. But we see here this little horn. Now look, we're talking about a little horn, a little king. When you first see him, you wouldn't notice him. You wouldn't think he's a great leader. He doesn't seem as great as the other 10 world leaders. But this little horn gains such power. He's given power over all nations. Okay? Then eighthly, he will rule for 3.5 years. It says in Revelation 13, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Okay? Now 42 months is 3.5 years, or 1260 days. This is a term used in Daniel and Revelation, not once, but many times. It's repeated many times. And you know what? It's given in days, in months, and in years. Some people make this years. They take a day and make it a year. Or they make this 1260 days, 1260 years. And some old Bible teachers, the good men, but they said, well, the papacy will run for 1260 years. Well, the Pope's still going strong. There's still another pope on the throne. It's still there, and it's been longer than 1,260 years. But it's talking about a 3.5 year period where this little horn is going to reign over all nations. Then ninthly, he will invade Israel. We're talking about who the Antichrist is. He is not on the world scene at the minute. There is no man who lines up with the Bible what it says about the Antichrist. He will invade Israel. Daniel chapter 8 says this, that he'll move towards the pleasant land, which is Israel. You study Matthew 24 and Luke 21. There, Jesus talking, he mentions Daniel's prophecy. And he says, when you see the desolation of abomination, talking about Israel, Jerusalem, in the temple, says, when you see the desolation which Daniel spoke about, he says, you know to run for the hills. Now Matthew says, when you see the desolation, what does Luke say? He says, when the city gets surrounded by enemies beginning to be besieged, you run for the hills. So those two things happen together. Israel, under the little horn, is going to get besieged. He's going to lead an army against it. His 3.5 years begin with that. This is the beginning of the tribulation, when the abomination of desolation gets set up. And you know, Daniel prophesied this. Okay, you're doing very well. Number 10, he will make war with the saints. Daniel chapter 7, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and he prevailed against them. What does that actually mean? What does prevail mean? It can't mean spiritually, because no true saint, the devil cannot prevail against them. They'll try him. Then verse 25 it says, and he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Then Revelation 13 and 7, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. It's talking about physical persecution, killing them. So for 3.5 years, God is going to give his saints, those who truly believe on him, over to Antichrist. And Antichrist will be able to kill whomsoever he wills. There's going to be a great tribulation or persecution across the world. Now, saints, one reason we need to know this is because Antichrist isn't here yet. We are beginning to see the rising up of a world government. We haven't seen the 10 world leaders. We haven't seen power given to one man. But you know, 2 years ago, the Pope of Rome, Benedict, put out a document calling for a one world government, a one world currency, and a one world religion. They're looking for unity. All the bankers of the world are saying there'll be one world currency coming in the world. Everybody, all of this is there. The UN is talking about a one world government. The Pope wrote in his document 2 years ago, and he says, Europe, the European Union, will have to submit itself to this world government, and we'll have one currency. Now, I'm telling you, you don't need to study far to realise all the bankers, all the world government people, all the people of importance behind the scene, they're working towards a one world government, a one world currency, and a one world religion. This is all coming. Daniel and John prophesy this very clearly. And in Revelation 17, the scarlet woman is the Catholic Church. She will be destroyed. Do you know why she is going to be destroyed? Because Satan is finished with false religion. Why does he turn? Before the little horn comes to power, the Bible says the 10 great world leaders are going to destroy her. Do you know why? They'll get rid of Islam. They'll get rid of Catholicism. Do you know what it's going to be? Pure Satan worship. As we pointed out there, all the world is going to worship this little beast. They go after him. They worship him. They say, who is like this little horn? Who is like this great world leader? He's going to blaspheme God. And this is going to be unadulterated, real worship of Antichrist. Saints, this is real, what we're caught up on. Our God is in control. We're getting ready for the rapture of the church. We're getting ready to meet our God. He is going to come back and reign. He's going to destroy Antichrist himself with the breath of his mouth. He is coming with great power, great dominion. We're not looking or waiting for Antichrist. We're here to do the will of God. But do you know what? Our God knows everything the world government is doing. Our God has total control over the nations. Our God puts a thought in their minds to say, all 10 world leaders will give their power to Antichrist. Now, what I'm telling you is, relax, saints of God. Put your trust in God, your confidence in God. I tell you, the world currency is going down. What's happened in Cyprus? Look what's happened. Do you know what's happened the past few weeks in Cyprus? Do you know? They're confiscating bank accounts over 100,000 euro. Do you know what they're doing? They're literally going in and taking all of their funds. This is a trial run, what they're going to do all over the world. From now on, they've already stolen the pensions. Why do you think there's no pensions left out across the world? You aren't going to have a pension. I'm sorry to lay worries on you. There will not be a pension before very long. I don't expect to have one. I'm preparing now. I'm not saving my money. I'm just walking with God. That's the only way to prepare for this last day. Your bank account won't be worth anything. Your pension, your savings. Now, I'm just telling you the raw truth. All of this, there's only one way you can be prepared for this last day. Walk with Jesus Christ. We are starting to see something very dark, very wicked arise in the earth. What they're doing in Cyprus, they're stepping in saying, 100,000 below, we won't touch. 100,000 and above, we take it. In fact, we're so good to you, we'll give you a third of what your money's worth in bonds. Bonds not worth anything. Shares in the bank that's going bankrupt. So what we're now seeing is, believe me, all of this is in place. They're going to take all of your savings. If I had 200,000 and I don't, I would not have it in a bank. Everything is going down. You need to put your treasures in heaven. Don't think that I'm thinking of the future, I'm thinking of my job, I'm thinking of a nice house. I tell you, saints, we need to get ready spiritually. We need to look up. We need to win souls to Christ. You seeing a soul get born again is the only treasure you have. Walking with God is the only treasure you have. We're beginning to see things come in this generation that's going to lead to the very last world government. And it is upon us. All of them know about it. All of them are preparing for it. And we need to get ready. The only thing that's going to matter in this last generation is souls being born again. Do you know this spirit of Antichrist is in the world? What is it? It hates Christ. It's against Christ. A homosexual spirit. A perverted spirit in our world system. That's why sin, if you allow sin in your life, you're allowing that spirit to operate. You're allowing it in your home. You're allowing it into your life. You're allowing it to mold your thinking. If you allow this world to think to affect you, it says, be not conformed to this world. Do you know why? The God of this world is Satan. Yeah. He is the God of this world. And says, don't be molded into the shape of this world. Don't let the world out there mold you into its shape. You know why? Because it is Satan behind it. I've said this before recently, but you ladies, you more than us men, want to stay on the cutting edge of style, your hairstyle, your colour style, your clothes style. All of that's being affected. Do you know who's behind that? Somebody. Now think about this. They're making multi-million dollars. One person who wants to make money out of you ladies. That's all they care. They don't care about you. They change the style every single year. Now we'll have short hair. Now we'll have long hair. Now we'll have a long skirt. Now we'll have a shorter skirt. They're manipulating you. They want to get rich. They're making money off of you. And they literally mold you to the shape they want you to be. That's the influence of this world. We've got to be very careful. The influences. You need this car. You need this house. You need this, you need that, you need this. All of this is coming. Do you know what's behind that? The spirit of Antichrist. And do you know what? We're to be free of that. Who is our God? How are we to live our lives? What is our hope and our confidence? This isn't our world. We are getting ready to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming again. And the only thing that's going to matter is that we have walked with him. Stand with me. Saints, I know I'm dealing with a lot, okay? These past couple of weeks, we're dealing with a lot of stuff. Takes a bit of thinking. You've got to engage your mind. I don't mind working you, okay? I don't mind pressing through. You know why? Because it's Bible. We are dealing with the scriptures. Do you know God reveals everything that's happening in our world today? There is coming an Antichrist, and an Antichrist system that's in our world today that hates Christ. It will hate you. Don't get offended when the world makes fun of you. Don't feel rejected because you don't fit into this world. There is a spirit. It says in Revelation 19 that the beast and all those that follow him get cast into an eternal hell. Do you know all of it is either going to end up in heaven or hell?